Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emily George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single, but I've done too many episodes, nobody fucking knows, so now I'm just interviewing people and having a nice time. My guest today is a comedian, an actor, a writer for Rick and Morty, Star Trek Lower Decks, and Solar Opposites. He's the co-host of the Guilty Pleasures podcast, and I found him on Instagram talking about bidets, and it made me laugh, so then I was like, do you want to do my podcast? It's Garrick Bernard!
Hey, thank you, thank you. What a nice and beautiful rollout. I love that.
Well, I was like on Instagram, and then I guess I've just been watching a lot of stand-up lately, and then I came across your bidet bit, and it really made me laugh.
Great. I'm glad. I'm happy that more people appreciate bidets in general. And that the overall consensus has not been like, oh, gross, why are you using a bidet? And more so like, oh, man, I got back from Japan and I'm never going back. You know, I'm never going back to.
Love a bidet. I don't remember when I was first introduced to one, but now all my toilets have a bidet. And then I just got back from Africa. They have bidets. They have two options in Africa. You can like transfer the butt to the bidet. Or they got a spray gun and that shoots it right up your asshole. And that is my preference.
I think that's it. Those are the ones that you kind of just take off from like a sink or something like that. And then you just kind of, yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Delightful. Do you have a tushy? What is your brand of choice?
Yeah, my brand of choice is the tushy because mainly it's just, you just got to be kind of regular. I do want to get like the heated one at some point, but they're so expensive.
Yeah, my friend Phil, he has a bidet in the toilet, like the whole thing is a unit. I think it's a Japanese toilet, but like when you walk past it, it like says hello, like the little lid lifts up and it's like, do you want to put something in here?
I'm
all for it.
Yeah. That reminds me of Look Who's Talking, Mr. Toilet Man. It's a really, really bad and random reference, but
one of the kids, very, very niche.
One of the kids was afraid of the toilet, and a toilet opening up by itself is just going to bring back that memory. I'm good. I'm good on a toilet opening by itself, but I do love the ones with the heated seats and the heated water.
I don't like the heated seats just because I'm like, I don't know if my butt needs to be warm like that while I'm peeing or, you know, taking a shit. But I do like the heated water. That's nice. That's opulence. That's nice.
Okay. That's rich.
Have you been to, it's a restaurant called Modomo?
No. It's
Modomo. I don't think I'm saying it right, but the guy who did Momofuku, I don't know if I'm saying that right, David Chang, I think. So he's got another restaurant in LA. He's got toilets with the heated seats and the heated water.
And I went to dinner once and I spent a long time in the bathroom. My friend was like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I was just having a very nice time in the bathroom.
Yeah, I'll actually take my meal in here. Like, let me just eat in the bathroom. Like, you're not a loser anymore. Like in high school. Now it's just like you're a cool person that just enjoys the richer things in life, I guess.
I'm opulent. Garrick, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you single? Are you dating? Are you married? Do you not want to say? Those are the only options.
I am dating. I am dating. I've been in a relationship for 5 years.
That's a nice time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just moved in together about a year ago. Oh, yeah. Congrats. And so that's, yeah, thank you so much.
How did you meet?
We met at work. We both worked at BuzzFeed. I was a writer there and she was doing social there. And she was coming in right as I was leaving. And I want to say like 2 weeks before I left, I was like, I got to say something to this girl. So, yeah, I just kind of asked her out.
What was the thing that you said?
I made her a playlist and I sent it on Slack.
How very BuzzFeed of you.
Yeah.
If you like 8 songs on this playlist, you have to go out with me.
Yeah. No, it's the exact manner of that. Like, it was like emo rock type stuff as well. So it wasn't even kind of cool. I was really like going out on a limb there. I think, okay, so the playlist was titled I'm Embarrassing Myself by like just showing her my music taste. And she was into it, which was nice. Which was a nice thing to, you know, kind of have some common ground on. And then I just kind of walked over to her desk and asked her out. But okay, no, it didn't go that smoothly. the first time I went over to her desk, she wasn't there. Second time I went over to her desk, her desk mate was there. And she was just like, are you looking for someone or something? What's going on? Why are you kind of just like wandering around? And then the third time she was there and I just kind of asked her out. Yeah. So
I love that you stalked her desk first. Her deskmate's like, can I help you? And you're like, nope, you're the wrong one. I don't want you.
Yeah, I don't want you. You actually gross me out. I would rather die. No. She was nice.
So 5 years, that's like a solid amount of time. What was your first date?
First date, we went bowling, which I have now realized is terrible for women because they have, you know, long nails. It's really stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But we went bowling in Koreatown. And then went to like this, like, I don't even know the name of it anymore. It was like a weird like soju bar that was like in a parking lot. Like the entrance was through a parking lot. Might not be there anymore. But it was, we both lived in K-Town. So, yeah, we kind of just like walked around, which is really nice.
I mean, in your defense, I don't think bowling is a bad first date. I have nails, but I fucking love bowling.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun to be like, I'm going to throw this heavy thing to knock down some more heavy things.
Yeah.
I could be the winner or you could be the winner. And it's like, oh, my God, look at us. Yeah. We're being cute. I like bowling.
Yeah. I also like think that nobody should be good at bowling. I think that it's either you're either like awful at it or you're like a professional guy that's doing like, who do you think you are? I am that whole bit. But like everybody else. You shouldn't. It's like a nice thing to kind of say, let's go do, because just like we're both equally bad at this. So let's go embarrass ourselves together.
Yeah. Bowling's the great equalizer. Also, Top Golf. I've never done it, but it looks hard.
Yeah. Not a good golf. So even with Top Golf, you walk in and then you'll see somebody bringing their own clubs and you're like, all right, man. Okay.
That's like, if you go to New York and do karaoke anywhere near the theater district after the show's let out, there's somebody from Broadway who's like, I want to make people's night bad and make them feel bad for not being as talented as me.
Why is that your thing? Why do you get off on that? Stop. Leave us alone. We are mere mortals who don't have the range to hit the back of the room. Leave us alone.
Yeah, it'd be like if fucking Chelsea Handler put on a wig and went to like an open mic and was like, I don't know why these jokes are working.
Yeah, it's like
just don't do that.
You're Chelsea Handler. One time I was doing a mic down in somewhere probably in Koreatown as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere on the east side. And Bill Burr went up at an open mic and we were just like, what the fuck, dog? No, stop. That's
pretty funny.
Yeah, it was like right around that the time of that one episode of Louie where he was like, oh, let's like just kind of bounce around and do mics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, seeing Bill Burr at a mic, you're like, okay, this is one, a great learning opportunity, but two, come on, man, you're gonna make me feel
you're
bad.
You're gonna fucking annihilate, and then the next person who's like, hey, I don't know if this joke about the circus works. It's like, it doesn't. Bill Burr just killed, and your fucking circus joke is trash. Go home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We all ran in, like, just like, what the fuck? Is fucking Bill Burr on stage right now?
I did a show with Bill Burr, like, in the pandemic, like, when we were heavy in the pandemic, and it was an outdoor show, and people were heckling him from the other side of the fence. And I don't think they knew it was Bill Burr, but then he just started talking to them and it was very funny. He was just like, I'm doing something here. And they're like, we don't fucking care. It was just wild.
I love when people don't realize a stand-up is going on and they're just kind of being ambushed with jokes. And then also they don't know that a famous person is on stage.
Yes. And they're just like, I don't fucking care. I'm just doing whatever the fuck I want. It was very funny.
Yeah. I'm trying to go to bed, or like they're like standing on the roof, you know, this is like, oh, I'm looking at fireworks or whatever. It's so good. It's always so good. It's always so humiliating, honestly.
Oh, stand up, I think in itself is humiliating because it's like, it can happen in a theater. That's dignified. It can happen in a club. All right. People are eating dinner while you're trying to tell jokes, or it happens on like a parking lot or a rooftop and people just yell at you. They're like, you fucking suck. And you're like, yup, okay.
You're right. I'm bad at this.
Uh-huh.
And you are not in my context bubble. And so you don't understand what the fuck is going on right now. Oh my God.
So wait, when you moved in with your girlfriend, who asked who? Did you ask her or she asked you?
We had a couple of false starts. I think we went into like a mutual agreement of us being like, I think we've been dating for like 3 years. Like we should definitely move in. And then the pandemic happened. And so we're like, let's not do it now. That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the pandemic, I got cast in Single Drunk Female so I was gone for like 3 months. And she was like, I don't want to move in with somebody. And then I'm just alone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we waited until after that was done. And then we had a falling out because of like work and all of that stuff. And then like waited another year and then we moved in together.
Okay. How did you get around her feeling like you would be gone while she was living with you? Was that just like a thing she came to terms with, or?
I don't even know that we have met, have found like a good common ground, but I think it's just like setting rules on how long we go without seeing each other. And so it's just like, oh, if once we get to like a 2 week point, like we need to go and like I'll fly back home, or like she'll come out and visit or something like that.
That works.
I feel like that works, right?
Listen, I don't
we'll
know.
See.
Never really been in a relationship. I just, you know, people say things and I go, hey, that sounds good. Also, I had a lady on my podcast who told me, she was like, go overseas, try to find love. I just spent 2 weeks in Africa and I didn't fucking find love. The only people who hit on me were people at the fucking customs when I was leaving and couldn't go out with them. That's when I got hit on. And I was like, this is horseshit. This sucks.
Yeah. Where were you? Where were you this whole time? To get out of the customs line and come talk to me.
Yeah. come hang out with me.
Yeah.
Ugh. So wait, you met at work.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll meet somebody at work.
I think that's it. I think we got to stop looking for like, oh, I'm going to go and expand my dating pool everywhere. Mm-hmm. No, it's work. It's your job. It's most of the time. Like, just be easier on yourself as far as like where you're willing to look. I'm the exact opposite of the lady that came on the podcast earlier. It's just like, don't go overseas.
Yeah, she literally was like, go overseas, go to a different country, go to where you're appreciated. And let me tell you, I was not appreciated in a lot of countries in Africa.
Yeah, don't go there.
Especially Kenya. I went with my friend and they loved her there and I was dog shit. But where was I? Zimbabwe people seem to like me.
Okay.
But truly, I was like, how the fuck are people doing this? How?
How are they finding love when they don't even have the cultural touch points of someone from Kenya? That's weird. And it also like your friend, you know, I mean, I'm sure she's a nice lady, but she's not finding love out there. She's finding guys who are just like, oh, passport, you know, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's rude to say, but I am Caribbean. And so like my family, we go back there all the time and people hit on my sister a lot every time we're back there. Mm-hmm. And most of the time they're like, oh, I just want like I want an American or something like that. Or I'm trying to
get over to the States. Where in the Caribbean are you from? Trinidad?
Trinidad. Yeah, you got it. You got it on the first try.
Oh, I know. It's because I'm looking at information my assistant dug up on you.
Nice. Sick. Yeah. You got it.
My family's from Barbados, and nobody hit on me when I went to Barbados.
Oh, my God. They're losers. What's going on? What's going on?
I don't fucking know.
Hit on Nicole.
Please. It's all I fucking want. Okay. So you've been living together for 2 years. What's the hardest thing about living with a partner?
I'm not messy. She is messy. And she like not messy to the point of like, oh my God, I'm like stepping over stuff. But I don't want to say I'm like organized, but I just like coming in and things are where they're supposed to be or the last place I left. You know, I think as a kid, I had a big problem with like losing things. And so I always tried to like put things in their place so that I didn't lose anything or I remembered where they were. And so it's a lot of me like just kind of, or not a lot. It's enough of me just kind of picking up after her and like putting things back. Yeah.
But like that's like not enough to be like annoying. Is it like just a cute little quirk?
Yeah, just a cute little quirk. It just is what it is. It's like differences. And yeah, I think that's it. And then just me having to leave every so often. And so like sometimes I'll work during the day and then I'm like, oh, I got a show. And she's like, oh God, here we go. You know, like that whole thing. But other than that, it's been nice. It's a nice, this is my first time living with somebody. And this is, it's, I get why people do it, you know? I get why people
move in together. I see what everybody talk about.
All right. Okay.
So your mom sent you to school in a uniform, even though your school didn't have uniforms. Did that make you a hit with the ladies or do people make fun of you?
I don't know how you got that information, but yeah. Yes. No, it didn't make me a hit with the ladies. Dear God. I want to say I felt when things started going better for me, and it was in 11th grade around March.
In
11th grade. And I was like, what is this? What is this energy I'm feeling? It's different. I'm being treated differently. But I think I just, stopped wearing a uniform or, but yeah, no, yeah. I went through all I don't want to say private schools, but my first public school that I went to was in fifth grade And I'm mm-hmm. just now coming off of, you know, going to uniform, wearing uniform schools. And my family are like, they were very used to not having to buy a wardrobe or anything like that. Uh-huh. And so they just sent me to school with the uniform while everybody's just wearing normal clothes. And I'm like, uh-huh. okay, yeah, this is it. This is it. I'm done. I'm done here. My social life is over. Why on earth would this work for me? And like in LA, like, I mean, I'm sure in any city, every school is a feeder school for another thing. And mm-hmm. so everybody would just like disperse from that school. And I would just go to the next grade and it would just be like one or two people from that school that would be like, oh, that's the dude that used to wear a fucking uniform. And then I was just a uniform kid. That also, like, you know, you couldn't really wear, like, clothes well. I didn't have a lot of practice in it, you know? I had no fashion sense. So, yeah, I was just, like, the dusty kid for
a
while.
Very funny that your parents were like, this is a thing that we're just not going to deal with. You're just going to fucking wear a uniform and get the fuck up over it.
Yeah. Very, very, very disrespectful to your child.
It's like, funny.
Yeah, it is, in hindsight, hilarious. Hindsight, like, that is the best bit that they've ever played on me. Other than never supporting my dreams. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, <ooh.
laughs> well, do they support them now that you, like, work?
Yeah. I think now that I have, now that I can, you know, live on my own, I feel like, mm-hmm. or once that started, yeah, they were like, okay, well, I guess this is just what you do. I don't want to look into what you do, but I guess that's cool, you know? Yeah.
I mean, my grandmother from Barbados, I don't know, 5 years ago, asked me if I was going to go back to college. And I was like, I'm doing good. I don't need to.
I'm busy.
And she was like, don't you want to be a lawyer or something? And I was like, no, I'm working. I'm doing it.
I make... Lawyer money, is that too much for you?
Yeah, without doing court shit and without the degree. And
yeah,
I mean, I didn't get a college degree and I never heard the end of it. I still don't hear the end of it. They're like, don't you want to get that degree? And I'm like, nobody's asked me for it. Nobody has said, can I see it? Can I see that paper? Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. This, like, it's truly like the most West Indian thing I've ever heard. What you're saying is the most West Indian thing I've ever heard in my life. But like, I love cars. I love working on cars. And my
what kind of car you got?
I got a Honda S2000, little old
is that a
bitty.
Civic? No, S2000. That's the two-seater.
The two-seater, yeah.
Two-seater. Do you have a? Is it a soft top?
Soft top, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know that car. They stopped making that in like the mid-2000s.
They did. Damn. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was the hatchback Civic. That's why I asked at first, but I think that's the SI. I like cars.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know the ins and outs of working on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like them.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you even know about it. Like most of the time when I say S2000, it's like, is that a Toyota or whatever? It's like, no.
They're thinking of the Toyota Spider. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't remember the model. But yeah, that's a fun car.
It's a fun car. It's really fun. And I've brought it to a level that I like, and I did it in my parents', in their yard, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on it the whole time. I'm doing all of this stuff. And my parents didn't know that I was like capable of all this, like changing transmissions and all that stuff. And uh-huh. I finished, and my mom was like, oh, wow, you really, I mean, if you want, you could become a mechanic. I was like, Mom, I'm on television. I'm on television. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else you need, but I think that was like a breaking
hobby.
Point.
I'm on TV.
I'm on TV. Oh,
that's
my goodness.
So funny. I have a Mitsubishi 3000 GT. And nice. What is she? She's a 94. I wanted a 98, but the 94 is the same. Nothing's too different. I think 93 was the last year that the the headlights bounced up. I was like, yeah. I don't want that because I don't want to fix that.
Yeah.
When it inevitably breaks.
Yeah.
But I fucking love driving it. And every time I drive it, I'm like, how come people aren't looking around being like, cool car?
Right, right, right. I think, oh God. You realize that shit so quick where you're like, oh, this is just for me and other dudes.
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a fuck. It's like you gotta come to peace with it. It's just like, oh, and you're looking around like, I did all of this, and they're like, oh, okay, cool, man. It's not a Tesla.
Okay, what is your all-time favorite car?
All-time favorite car? Oh, God. I love Porsches. Like the new GC3 RS that just came out is pretty crazy. I did the... So they have, like, the Porsche driving experience in Carson. Yeah. It's so fun. I think everybody should do it. It's like the most fun I've had. You're just, and there's like so much technology in the car, but it feels like one of those 90s Hondas where you feel so connected to it, which is really nice. So probably one of those, the GT3 maybe. All-time favorite. Yeah, that's like the craziest thing I've driven, I think. And I'm not the type to be like, oh, I'm going to go look at this car. It looks so cool. That's my dream car. It's like I have to drive it first because there are a good amount of like supercars that are fun to look at, but pretty boring to drive, you know?
I own my favorite car. A Mitsubishi 3000 GT is my favorite car ever since I was a little kid. And the reason, because it was a moderately priced Japanese sports car that was affordable for everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
And not necessarily the fastest, but like it'll get you somewhere. And it drives fine. I wish I don't really know how to drive a stick. I can, if someone put a gun to my head, I understand how to do it. But I was like, I don't want to buy it to learn on it and then like ruin the transmission and then... But I might get a Geo Tracker or a Suzuki Sidekick because a lot of them come in a stick, and I'm like, I like it. It's a cute little truck, and maybe I'll learn on that.
The little key trucks as well.
Yeah. If you go to Vegas, I don't know the name of it, but there is a track that you can drive around. Have you done that?
No, I haven't done that, but I've heard about it. I think it's the Las Vegas Speedway. And
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And like they let you like open up any kind of supercar and all that stuff.
Yeah. I drove a Ferrari.
You drove a Ferrari?
It was great. Yeah,
I'm sure.
So I was the only woman there. It was just like a bunch of guys and me. And I was the only one who was like, are you guys fucking excited about this? I think everyone was trying to be cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm tripping. Like, I've never sat in a McLaren. Like, that's fucking cool.
That's so sick.
It's so incredible. And then my friend Sashir went with me, and she was like, yeah, I was with the wives. And she was like, I was like standing with them, and they were like, oh, that's my husband. And so she was like, that's my friend. She's having a good time. And they take you around the track once in a Porsche, what is it? Cheyenne or Cayenne, the little SUV. And then the guy goes, do you want to go fast? And I'm like, yeah. And these like guys with me were like, sure. And then we went so fucking fast, and I was like, wee. And these men didn't seem excited. And I was like, what are you, nervous? You don't have to shift. All these cars, they'll be automatic or you can shift. And I was like, so don't worry about it. And then the guy coaches you through curves. Someone sits with you.
Yeah.
They coach you through it. They tell you when to speed up. They tell you when to slow down, when to hit the brakes. And then he's like, we can go as fast or as slow as you want. Some of these people were going so fucking slow. I was speeding past people. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing it.
It's so fucking fun.
That sounds so dope. That's the dream. You want to have, you drive around LA and there are like, you know, Ferraris everywhere. It's just like, but you can't drive it.
You can't drive it.
You can't do what it's meant to do. You're literally putting a muzzle on a giant dog or a giant horse or whatever. You're not doing what it needs to do. It's bored.
Yeah. Whenever I see a Hellcat, I'm like, why would you buy that for like your everyday car?
Oh my
That's
God.
Literally insane. Oh, also you can go drifting in a Hellcat.
Oh, out there?
Yeah. So like they won't let you drive it, but someone will do it for you.
That's
you get
sick.
To just like sit in the back seat.
That's so cool.
Sashir didn't want to do it with me, so I didn't get to do it.
Damn. Sashir, what's going on, Sashir? Like you don't wanna have the time of your life?
I know. She was like, I'm scared. Garrick, real quick, we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. And we're back. Garrick, can I ask you about a woman, a girl, who you asked to homecoming and then said yes, but then she turned around and went with somebody else. How did that make you feel?
That was one of the worst days of my life. God. So this is pre-11th grade, I want to say. This was around 10th grade, maybe 9th. No, for sure 10th grade. And yeah, I really, really, really like this girl. And I think I was just doing like the, you know, I'm just going to be her buddy old pal for as long as it takes, you know, and kind of like turtle my way in there, I guess. I think it's just because I didn't say how I felt, you know, like you kind of have to let people know or else they're just going to be like, oh, you're really nice. And so I went out on a limb, asked her to homecoming. She said no. And I was like, okay, totally fine. She said no because she was going with somebody else. She was like, I'm sorry, but I'm going with this guy. They had a falling out, I feel like. And she was like, I'm not going to homecoming with him anymore. Would you like to go to homecoming with me? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, why not? And we went to homecoming together. And then I saw them making out like on the dance floor at homecoming. And I was just like, okay, yeah, this is my... my own little fucking indie movie. It was devastating.
Oh, God. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I don't know. I don't think I've... like, yeah, you just get heartbreak so early in life that you're like, all right, well, I guess this is just a thing that I have to get used to. You know?
Yeah, you're like, okay, so life is just going to be... more of this, more of people hurting my fucking feelings.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds amazing. Sounds awesome. God.
So, like, when did you start dating? Was it high school? Or do you consider yourself a late bloomer?
I consider myself a late bloomer. Bloomer? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know why I went for that. Anyway. late bloomer. I think I want to say... first and a half, I want to say, yeah, is when I like really like just kind of started stop being like scared. I think I just started hanging out with some of my friends from high school who were a lot more adept in talking to women than I was, and it was a lot of me being a wallflower and then them like kind of pushing me into a situation where I'm just like, oh, I like this girl. And then they're like, great. And then go talk to her. Or like, oh, my homie over there like thinks you're cute. And it's just me in the corner just like, oh, I don't know, man.
I'm the homie and I think you're cute.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
So I'm so sorry. You know. But yeah, I want to say like, yeah. Freshman year of college was when things started going a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now that you're on television, do you stand up? Do you have chuckle fuckers? I ask all stand ups this because I'm always very curious.
So yes and no. I think it's not like people who have followed me from show to show or something like that, or mm-hmm. like, you know. Been like, oh, are you going up at this place? I would like to meet you in person. I've never seen that. But after shows or while on stage, I have been hit on a couple of times. And that's about it.
You've been hit on stage?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How does that go down?
So that was, this one was like weird. Where a girl, okay, so one moment that sticks out. I was on stage in Indianapolis, and asking people like doing the crowd work thing up top and all that stuff, asking people like what they're doing, what do you do in Indianapolis, what are you doing here? Somebody said, oh, I'm on a blind date. And I was like, oh, cool. How's it going? She was like, it's going all right. And I was like, oh, what's all right? I mean, it's fine. Do you want my number though? And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like in front of the poor guy's face.
Oh, it's like that's no.
That like, and you like immediately after that happened, you just get that flashback of the heartbreak from homecoming. And you're like, oh no, this is me. But I'm on the other side of it now.
Oh no. What did you say?
I said, no, like, that's so rude. Like, why would you do that? You just broke this man's spirit. He's gonna be a red pill on Reddit now. Congratulations.
I mean, at least he dodged a bullet. He knows that she's a bitch.
Yeah, she's an asshole. Good for him.
Ugh, what a fucking nightmare. That's wild. That is truly so wild to do right in front of the date. Wait, you said you've been hit on a couple times on stage. What do you remember the other ones?
No, the other times have just been like someone being like, oh, like you're cute or whatever. Or me doing like a self-deprecating joke about being lame and then somebody like yelling from the back. Being like, oh, no, you're not at all. I love you and all that shit like that. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you. That's so much.
That's so funny. People are like, we can't let the pretty person be sad.
And I'm like, no. Stop doing that. Stop. Let people be sad for a moment. I don't know. And don't feel like you owe anybody that you find attractive anything, you know?
That's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let the pretty person be sad. So,
we can't. We gotta save him.
We gotta save him. No, no, he cannot leave this place feeling bad about himself. It's like, why?
That's like fat jokes. If you're like on stage, you're like, I'm fat. They go, no, you're not. And it's like, then what am I? If I'm not fat, you tell me what I am. What is it? You want to let me? You? Is there something I don't know? I have a question. You went to LMU for 2 years before dropping out. What is LMU? Where is that?
Loyola Marymount. That is in
New York.
It's in Westchester. It's in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you
went
for 2 years for mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
Why did you drop out? Were you like, I don't want to engineer anything? What is mechanical engineering?
It is the car shit, honestly. It is just like, I really wanted to get into like engine development and figure out how that worked. And that was what I heard was the path for it was mechanical engineering. And so I studied that for 2 years there. And I got an internship out in Fontana and at a Ford plant, I believe, I believe it was a Ford plant. And I got to see what my job was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just somebody on ECAD, which is a digital, like digital rendering of like, you know, rods and pistons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just somebody doing stress tests, which is like just seeing how strong a piece of bar is, essentially. And I was like, if this is gonna be my life for the next 4 years, I really need to figure out something to do, you know, like some kind of outlet, because this is gonna be awful. And then I kind of was just like, I would think about like what I kind of just did naturally, which is like kind of make jokes. My family is funny. And then I just started going to open mics because I wanted to do improv, but improv was expensive. And I just kind of went to...
Isn't it wild how expensive improv is?
Improv is
like,
so expensive.
We're all making shit up.
Yeah.
When I say, would you like orange juice? It's my hand in a C shape pretending to give someone orange juice. And they go, give me $400 for that.
And you're
it's
like,
so expensive.
You're like, there's no props at all. It's like, who am I paying for? And then you get to know the teachers after, like, you know, you've been doing or you've been in the industry for long enough. And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't get paid much to do that. And so it's like, OK, so why is it $500 per class?
Because the building you're making shit up in is expensive.
Okay.
And they gotta pay the rent and they won't take pretend money. I coached improv for a minute and I made barely any money. And I was like, oh, we gotta figure out something else to get some cash coming in. It's tough.
Yeah, it's awful. And like, it kind of feels like exploitation in a way.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Here's a question that you may not have the answer for, but I cannot figure it out. So the Ford Bronco, I think it's years 64 to 72 is like the most popular model. It's coveted. Usually you find them covered in rust. You got to like rebuild them from the frame up.
Yeah.
But there's companies that license bodies from Ford. Do you know how that works?
No. So, okay. So I know that there are like different companies that will literally reach out and say, hey, to Ford the one I'm like basing this off of is Singer. They do Porsches. They do like really old Porsches and they just take them from the ground up. And so they'll find either a restored Porsche or they'll like ask them to just give them the frame of this year and they'll just build it up from there. And so like, because they have like a relationship as like an official modder or official modding company, Yeah, they'll, like, the company or Ford or one of the big places will just send them the frame, which is what they want in the first place. Because all they would do is, like, find a Bronco and then strip it down to its bare metal.
Yeah, to just the frame and rebuild, like, the chassis and all that shit. Yeah, I went to, like, one of the, I can't remember the name, but it's based in Atlanta. I went to their factory and looked. They're fucking cool. But I was like, how are you getting bodies? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, also, what's the crash test on this? Is it going to fold up on me? Am I going to pass away?
Yeah, you might. You might. You fucking might.
Also, they're so expensive.
Yeah.
They're like $200,000. And I'm like, for a car to drive. And they're like, but it can't be your everyday car. And I'm like, but if I'm spending $200,000 on a car, it better drive me around every fucking day.
It better fucking drive me around every day.
It's so expensive.
You're out of your
mind.
And
I want one so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Also, I want... what is it? A Suzuki Jimny? But Suzuki doesn't make cars here anymore. Then I looked into importing it from Mexico, and apparently that's a nightmare. It's hard. I want the cars I can't have.
Yeah. Oh my god. The R34 GTR, the car that Brian drove in the second Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
The silver and blue one. That just became legal here to import.
Oh.
And Nicole, the way I'm like waiting for the prices to drop down from $130,000, I want one real bad.
I wonder if they will drop down. I mean, probably. I feel like if interest doesn't like stay, then it will. Yeah. I love the Eclipse that he drove in the first one, the 10
the
second car.
Yeah.
And then I love Dom's car, the RX-8.
Yes.
Which they still have it.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same as in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s was a beautiful heyday for Japanese sports cars.
The best time for Japanese sports cars. I like even the European Jetta that Jesse drove.
The white one.
I was like, yeah, I'm into that. I'm into that. Or
it's a little boxy, but I like it.
I like it. I love that whole like run from Fast and Furious 1 to I think 3. All the cars in there. I love every single one of them.
Fucking beautiful.
Oh my god.
There's a Nissan in it that the guy who punches Paul Walker's character, I can't remember the model, but that's also lovely. Also, the scene where they're doing the first race and then all the cars disperse is like eye candy.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful treat for your eyes to be like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? Ooh.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's the best. And like, I wanna blame Fast and Furious for why they're so expensive. Like the same Mazda you were just talking about. Like they're still $45,000 if you find one clean. Like, and the engine in those they're rotary engines, and so they go bad pretty often because it was like a new design. Mm-hmm. And they're just hard to like kind of find somebody that would work on them on that engine. And so there's just like a lot of them that just kind of blow, or the engine will just blow. And so you're like, okay, well, I'm buying this just because of Dominic Toretto and just because he drove it. But I can't drive it because it's a ticking time bomb, you know?
Yeah, I only drive my Mitsubishi every now and again because I took it in to a Mitsubishi dealership and they were like, we can fix it, but like you should find someone who specializes in 90s Japanese sports cars. And I was like, I'll find somebody. Because I wanted to switch the engine out into something bigger. And they were like, no, we can't do that.
Of course.
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Thanks. Guy, thanks, guy, yeah, whose job
thanks,
it
nice
is
man.
To know. Yeah, God.
I also got it from Indiana, and they were like, Why this car? And I was like, because it's my favorite car growing up. And then because it has like original tires, all like all original, the radio's original, everything's original in it.
Yeah.
And I asked them about it and they're like, oh, well, it was kept in a garage and it was this woman's son's car. And then she said that he stopped driving it and she would drive it every Saturday. I was like, oh my God, did this woman's son die?
Oh God.
And it's just like the saddest story you're ever telling me about my favorite car.
Yeah. Could you please let me know? I need to like pay my respects, I guess.
Yeah. Is my car haunted by the ghost of like a varsity right. football player?
Yeah. He's like taking it out one night or like, He won the championship game, and so he was in the back of the pickup, and then that got hit, and you're like, what the fuck?
Like, I don't... like, oh, cool.
Yeah, thanks for the car, man. Oh, okay.
Real quick, we gotta take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Does your girlfriend share your love of cars, or does she just, listen to you when you talk about it?
Yeah, she just listens. Yeah, she's not into it at all. She's like, oh, I mean, cool. Sometimes I'll notice her like fading onto her phone. It's literally, I know nobody can see this bit, but it's just like somebody slowly, as you're talking, slowly putting their phone up, and then you just hear TikTok start, and you're like, okay.
And you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're done.
I guess we're done.
I have a new favorite car that I took this guy that I was dating to go visit it, and he was like, oh, that's... He was like, oh, I thought like we would do something else after. And I was like, oh, no, I just know it's parked here. And I wanted to show it to you.
That's sick.
Because, well, OK, here's why. I think it was imported from Mexico because it's a Volkswagen Golf, but a pickup.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was so excited to find it. And then I found it parked and I was like, oh, well, now I know where it lives.
Yeah. 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 Let's go look at it. Let's go look at this little weird car.
And we went and looked at it. And he was like, okay, so what do you want to do now? And I was like, oh, talk about it. talk about how cool it is. Like, that we got to see that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'd be on the phone and I take, to get my nails done, I'll take the longer route to go visit it.
Yeah.
And we would like be on the phone. I'd be like, there's the car. And he'd be like, okay. I mean,
that's a good date. That's a good date. What do you mean? Imagine if you go, you saw a fucking pickup Golf. It's a car that's not supposed to exist.
Yes, it's not supposed to be here.
It's not supposed to be here. And then you just get high and look at this little thing, like, scoot around. That's sick.
It looks insane.
Yeah, yeah. It looks so crazy. Like, one of my, like, little car buddies, like, eventually, like, you post enough on Instagram that you start to accumulate people who will send you car stuff. And his younger brother just bought an old Mazda Speed, where it's like you're driving the car and your passenger is this close to shoulder to shoulder.
Inside you. Yes.
Literally inside of you. And the person he bought it from put a turbo on it. And so it is literally something that weighs, I think, less than a ton with like 300 horsepower. And so you're like, you're driving a motorcycle. You cannot control it. And he has this one picture that is so fucking funny of his younger sibling just like driving the car and like screaming out the window because he's so terrified.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in a pod that will essentially kill you eventually. And yeah, that's sick.
Ugh. I fucking love it. We've talked too much about cars. I should talk about dating. Okay. Do you have any advice? Okay. If someone was to like, say you're single and someone was to hit on you, how would you want to be hit on?
Oh, just approached in general. I'll take it from there.
I'll take it. Just a hi, hello window. I got it. Yeah, don't worry.
And we got it. Yeah. Because I feel like people don't know that men like to be approached at all because we're like seen as fucking monsters all of the time. and like catcalling monsters. And we are. I'm not going to like shy away from that. Men are bad for the most part, but like there was this one video going around of a woman just going up to men and being like, you should smile more, and then the guy just smiled. He's like, I'm sorry I'll smile, because like it's just nice. And so like being approached is honestly the sickest thing, of just being like, hey, I like your vibe. It's like, oh, I like your vibe that you actually came up and talked to me, because I don't want to, you know, be the aggressor all of the time. And rejection.
See, I was told that if men want something, they'll get it, and then it's a turn off to like hit on somebody.
No, that's fucking bullshit. You got to hit on people. That's fucking bullshit. I think it's where we're getting to equal playing fields in the dating field, at least more. So. I genuinely think it's just approach to go after what you want.
All right. I guess that's fucking good advice. What other advice you got?
Be interested in the other person. Like it feels more cliche, but like a lot of people try to be as interesting as possible, but like I genuinely feel like when you're trying to carry the conversation, be more interested in what the other person has to say than you like putting on airs and being like, oh, look at all of this thing, look at all the baggage that I have, or look at all the accolades that I've collected. It's just like, no, what do you want to know about that other person, and actually make them feel like they're interesting. Because that's, I don't know. It's how you get to know people. You know, you don't want people. People want to be known, sure, but like, I genuinely think that the best way for people to get to know you as well is by making the other person feel like the most interesting person in the room. You know.
I think that's actually really good advice.
Oh, sick!
Because if you like somebody. Yeah, you should be like, oh, even if you're not super interested, it's like, well, this is an interest of yours. Yeah. So, like, tell me more about it.
Tell me more about it.
I like that you like a thing.
Yeah.
So tell me about that thing.
Yeah. What actually draws you to it in the first place? You know, so it's like, let me get to know your thought process rather than like you in and of itself, you know?
That, yeah, I really like that. Like, I have a friend who's really nice to me about, so like, I like cars, obviously.
Yeah.
And I bought it wasn't Consumer Reports. I think it was like Car and Driver magazine.
Yeah.
They had one with like all the 2024 models.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. So then I was reading it and every now and again I'd be like, hey, Sashir, did you know we're only down to 3 subcompact cars? Which I think is pretty wild because who needs all the room? And she would go, oh, how many subcompact cars were there before? And then I would go, well, the Civic was considered one before they made it bigger in the redesign in the late 90s. She doesn't give a shit.
No.
She has never cared one time about this interest of mine, but she was like, she's really excited about this right now. So I'll ask questions so she can tell me things that excite her.
Yeah.
And I think that's nice for a partner to do. That's what I want. I want a partner to do that.
Yeah, you need a partner that'll ask you questions about cars and about Consumer Reports.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You deserve that. That's it. It's
what I
wild.
Deserve.
That's what you deserve. You deserve somebody that's gonna ask you questions. What the fuck?
Yeah. What the fuck? What am I doing? Oh boy, Garrick, do you have any friends? You got any single friends? Are they all comics?
They're all comics. They're all fucking
then
psychotic.
Fuck that.
Yeah, they're all psychos. I'm so sorry. Every time I ask, somebody asks, you have any single friends? And I'm like, well, I mean, if you're into people who are on the brink of a psychotic break, then sure. I have the man for you.
Yeah. A fun narcissist who was bullied in their youth and now has women throwing themselves at them so they don't really understand the worth of people. I got that person for you.
Oh, my God. I've got them in space.
Oh, Garrick.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Do you have brothers?
I do have a brother, and he is married.
Yeah, is he happy?
He is happy.
I'm sorry.
Maybe give him 4 more years. It's a newish marriage. Newish marriage. Maybe like once my nephew starts talking back and they have to like have a whole conversation about that. And that could start fraying the relationship.
I'm not being a stepmother.
Okay.
I can't do that.
That sounds like
one of the worst things I can think of.
It is.
A kid going, you're not my mom. And I'm like, and I don't fucking want to be. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. I'm just laughing at the fact of, or like the idea of you wearing a shirt that says, I'm not the stepmom. I'm the mom that stepped up. Oh, God.
I'm not the stepmom. I'm the mom who stepped up and is in their life.
I
would be like, I'm the mom who stepped out. Don't talk to me about this child.
I'm done. I'm not their mom.
I don't want it.
Yeah, leave me out of the conversation. I don't want to talk to them.
Okay. Does your girlfriend have any male friends who are nice?
She does have a brother. She does have a brother.
How old is he?
He's 41, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he live in LA?
He does live in LA. He lives in Long Beach. He's nice.
Okay. Tell him about me.
Tell him
that this stranger woman you just met who's horny is looking and still drive.
Yeah.
I got a car.
Yeah,
I'm under my mileage on my lease.
Yeah.
I'll get out there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll tell him. I'll let him know.
But I currently have COVID, so tell him he's got to wait at least 5 business days.
Okay, all right, all right. What? Got to wait for that. That's standard shipping to come through on your day.
You can't have express. We gotta just wait on it.
We gotta wait. We got a good amount of time.
All right, Garrick, we've come to the end. You're fucking delightful. I'm glad I came across your Instagram. How do I end this podcast? Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah. I have my podcast, Guilty Pleasures, with my buddy Kelsey Dara and Zach Kornfeld. And then I am at the Helium in St. Louis on February 2nd through the 3rd.
Have you been to that Helium?
I have not. Have you?
It's so fucking fun. I've had of my favorite shows there.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm excited.
Oh, man. There's this older couple that goes to shows there. They like randomly came to mind. They didn't know who I was. They sat front row and I had a blast with them. Yeah. I wish I could remember their name. I was talking to their daughter on Instagram for a while.
Really?
What a funny memory.
That's sick.
They were like, my parents love you. They just don't have an Instagram to talk to you. And we talked for a couple of years. I wonder how they are. Anyway, yeah. I ask all my guests this. I've only missed it a couple times. Mars just reminded me. Would you date me?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. We can talk about cars the whole time. Why not?
All right. That's nice. Yeah. Well, Garrick, thank you so much for being here. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe, give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. Okay, this person said, finest Egyptian lotion. Dear Nicole, first I would rub your body down with the finest Egyptian lotion. Mm-hmm. From there, to keep you in a state of passion and confusion, I will sing at you Toto's Africa while using your humble bosom as bongos. Just after a solid 4 hours of passionate and interesting lovemaking, we'll end the night cuddling with $37.48 worth of Taco Bell, swapping dead parent stories, and enjoying Sonic 2. That is...
What a perfect... perfectly worded, perfectly written, disgusting thing I've ever
This is one of my favorites. Passion and confusion. Mm-hmm. Passionate and interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's not good, but no. You'll talk about it.
You'll talk about it. You'll think about it. It feels like Drake wrote this. I don't know. I know that's like a weird thing.
No, I get it.
Yeah, it's like it's close to his voice. Does that make sense?
Yes. I hope Drake listens to this podcast and he's like, yeah, let me take a stab at this.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing podcasts now. This is Drake. Let's just go with the lore that this was Drake on a burner.
This was Drake.
This was Drake.
Thanks, Drake. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer. This show is produced by me, Mars, with guest research by Lindsay Kemp. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with guest booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.